The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place that they laid him. But now go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Now, of course, the women didn't know that first Easter morning. The sun had risen on the first day of the week, but they did not know just how much a new day had come. All they knew was that their teacher, their master, the one whom they had hoped was their savior, was dead. But when these faithful women arrived at the tomb, planning one final act of devotion and love, nothing was as they expected to find. The stone is rolled away. The body is gone, and an angel tells them he is not here. Now, Mark, who is not known for giving a lot of details, tells us they were terrified. Can we blame them? This is not how things are supposed to go. Stones are not supposed to roll away from tombs, and dead people don't come back to life. It's too good to be true. But still, it was true. It is true. The tomb was empty. Soon they would see the Savior, and this small band who had followed a wandering rabbi would now set out in his name and change the very world forever. See, Easter is not just a nice springtime story. Easter is power. The resurrection of Jesus is the world's great and only hope, because now, on this morning, God has declared suffering and death don't win. Life and love win. Easter is freedom. See, that empty grave means that all the mistakes we've made, all of our foolish decisions and hurtful, selfish words and deeds, they are no longer a cage for us. You are forgiven. And no evil can really hold on to you anymore. No addiction, no abuse, no hate, no fear or shame can ever define you. The grace of God is the final word on your life, and God declares every one of you gloriously beloved. So Easter means courage. Think about this. The death of Jesus was the worst thing to ever happen. Human beings killed God. But God still prevailed in love and mercy. He took the worst evil that the world could throw at him, and he overcame it. So now, you can know that no matter what, God's faithful love for you cannot be destroyed. Even should your very worst fears come to pass, Jesus will carry you through. Because nothing, not even the shame and death of the cross, can undo his love for you. Because of that love, the resurrection of Jesus, Easter morning, is also finally healing. Think for a moment today, how many of us have relationships that are broken or hearts that are wounded? Easter tells us that the love of God can overcome any betrayal, can bridge any distance, and bring reconciliation to any conflict. Resurrection means that the risen Jesus can heal all the wounds of your soul, because he has already borne every wound himself. And so if not even the grave can separate us, then anything that would divide us from each other has had its power taken away by the life of Jesus. Easter is hope. Easter is freedom. Easter is courage and healing. And so you may be wondering now, just who is this good news for? Who's it for? Oh, this is where things really get good. You see, God knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves, and he knows it is so easy for us to think things like, yeah, that all sounds good, but not for me. And come on, I'm not that religious. God knows it is easy for us to say, well, the preacher might be saying all this stuff about hope and healing, but if he knew where I was, if he'd seen the messes I'd made, he wouldn't be so sure about me. Have you ever been there? You ever been in either one of those spots? Maybe you're the one who kind of knows, well, you know, I'm supposed to be here today. Family brought me along. And you'll admit that all this God talk, it's good for some people. Not for you, though, right? Or maybe this morning you really wish it could be true for you. But you're just convinced that with everything that has happened, the hurt and the confusion is too much. And the road home feels like a maze you'll never get through. God knows we end up in these kind of places. God knows because his son, after all, felt that kind of abandonment, that lostness, when he was on the cross. And so God gives us these gems of grace, these little treasures of hope. Now see, Mark's telling of the resurrection, it's kind of sparse. I mean, did you notice we didn't even get to see Jesus in that reading? But there is one detail, one little phrase that is so perfect, so beautiful, and this is what you need to hear this morning. Go. Tell his disciples and Peter. And Peter. Do you get that? Peter, the one who swore to Jesus that he would gladly die for him and then denied him three times like a coward. Peter, who was supposed to be the rock and who turned out to be shifting sand. Peter, the one who decided he'd be a lot better off if he was not associated with Jesus. And so the angel says, go. Tell his disciples and Peter. See, that's who the good news is for. Even Peter. Nobody, not even Peter, has blown it so badly that Easter is not for them. Nobody can ever wander so far away that Jesus doesn't come to them. Not Peter. Not even you. Maybe you came here this morning for the sake of your family, just a prelude to the big dinner and the chocolate bunnies. That's all right. I'm glad you're here this morning. But let me ask you this. What if you could leave here this morning in hope and freedom and courage and healing? What if you could go back to your daily life, but with everything different? Because now you are different. That gift is being offered today. Even for Peter. Even for you. And maybe this morning you don't need to be convinced it's real. You just aren't sure if it can be real for you. But see, that's the amazing promise of resurrection. My friends, you cannot get any worse off than denied, tortured, mocked, dead, and buried. Jesus went as low as anyone can go, literally to hell itself. And he came back alive and triumphant for you. His grace, his healing, his joy and his love and his peace are for everyone, even for Peter, and especially for you. There is no heartbreak that cannot be healed. There is no relationship beyond mending. There is no sin that can't be forgiven. There is no pit of loneliness or failure that you cannot be lifted out of. Because Jesus has defeated all evil, all sin, all death, and he did it for the world. He did it for Peter. He did it for you. So wherever you are today on the road of faith, the empty tomb of Easter is the start of a new journey. Because of Jesus, there is hope in every situation. Evil will not win. Sin and death are still around, but they've been defeated. There is freedom from any bondage. There is courage in the face of every fear, and there is healing for even the deadliest of hurts. God raised Jesus from the dead so that love and joy and peace and life would have the final victory. That promise is for the world. It's for Peter. And it is for you. Amen.